Good morning. 727. 734. Right. Let me try that again. Haul out 7:34 a.m. on April 27th. I don't know where I got 7:27 from. Friday morning was a very vicious night in terms of weather here. Last night we had a whole stream of thunderstorms go through, created quite the thunder and light show, quite a lot of banging around, and quite a lot of water. My big plan for mowing the front lawn today has probably gone out the window, just because I don't know that I'm going to be able to get the grass dry enough to mow over the course of today. I was looking at the phone in the inside pocket. I hope I'm not going to bump any buttons that will shut off recording, but we'll see. I'm doing that to free my hands because it's still kind of dribbly. It's a seriously overcast. The sun is aglow behind the clouds, but it's every once in a while I get a little drop of rain, so let's tuck it inside where it's safe. Yesterday's big news was, in addition to working on the formatting for the story, I'm looking for the last bits of feedback, so if you've got a copy of it that you've been meaning to read, today would be a good day to do it. And let me know what you think. The last section of DoubleShare came last night, so I've had some time to start digging into that. It's another 120-page section. I've been through about 40 of them, 50 of them. I intend to get that done today and sent back to Robin this afternoon, this evening, so she'll have all of my first round edits back by tonight. So she's supposed to be working on the responses to my returned edits from before. I basically accepted everything that she sent and then went through and cleaned up, modified, did some word choice issues, cleaned up some dialogue tags, did the normal kinds of editing things that, and she typically doesn't deal with, which I've become quite aware of. I've been reading, as I think I've said before, I've been reading Nora Roberts, and I just did the sample for the book one of the Inn at Boonesboro series, and it's a romance series about three brothers, which is an interesting idea, that the idea that you could do a romance series. This is an interesting way to do it. So at the end of each series, at the end of each romance, in order to be valid romance, it has to have a nice, neat bow. And the two lead characters have to get together. That's one of the main tropes, is that there has to be a happy ending. So to do a series means you have to have characters that continue, from one book to another, but which have some ongoing longevity, some ways to explore the settings in new ways. So the brothers' idea is a good one. I like that a lot. But I also started reading Robert B. Parker, Night and Day specifically. This is an older book. It's still $9.99 on the Kindle store, which peeved me. But from research standpoint, it was one of the excerpts that Dean Wesley Smith gave us at the Character Voice Workshop, Character Voice and Setting Workshop. And it was interesting to see how Parker builds character through dialogue and how his lead, Jesse Stone, speaks and thinks, and how the plot evolves around the things that happen, not around the things they say, which is, sort of like a brainless notion, but it stuff doesn't really happen much. It's a very much a kind of story where people get together and talk, which sort of reminds me a little bit of my books, where not a lot happens. At least it hasn't happened so far. But people get together and talk about stuff that's happened. Now, because it's, I don't know what you call it, a thriller? Not exactly. Procedural? Not exactly. Mystery? Not exactly. I don't know. I'd have to look to see what genre they put it in at Amazon. But it's an interesting study. And so I bit the bullet and bought the $10 book. And it's not something I'm going to do on a regular basis, but for the purposes of education, I thought it was worth doing. I'm about, I don't know, a quarter of the way into the book. It's really quite interesting the way he builds the stories around it. So I'm able to read it for enjoyment, but every once in a while I think, oh, that's interesting. How he... I'm paying particular attention to how he puts clothes on characters. I noticed it with Nora Roberts, too, is that every one of them has a section that, to me, is kind of eh. Now, Nora Roberts does it, Robert B. Parker does it, everybody I've seen from the main list does it, and I find it irksome. And that's the what do I look like piece. Now, in Nora Roberts' case, because she has two character points of view, she's able to have one describe the other without having to play the my long, narrow shadow cast on the floor from the swinging light bulb kinds of stuff. And so I noticed that Parker does it too. You get a very clear sense of what they look like. And generally speaking, it gets in the way. Now, these are people who are at the pinnacle of their success. And to me, it gets in the way. Now, maybe I'm not sophisticated enough to really appreciate how they're doing this, that I do continue to read through it. And it does give me a feel for what the characters look like. But on the grand scheme of things, I don't really give a crap. It's an interesting challenge. It's something interesting to observe. Jeez, have a little traffic. Oh, yeah. That's why I'll never own a Harley. Yes, it's a classic bike. No, crappy bike. I don't know if it's a good bike or not. I don't know. I don't know bikes. I do know that it's loud and obnoxious. If I can get an electric one. Speaking of crap, I had a conversation with a fan yesterday about education. He was looking at an online course, a limited offering university. It was offering liberal arts courses online. And it was asking me what I thought about it. Like, what do I think about it? I said, well, what do you think about it? I think it's valid to offer liberal arts degrees online. I was like, as well as anything else. And the idea that most education is crap was not well received because this person had spent a lot of time and money in getting an education. More specifically, what they've been doing was buying credentials. Now, I don't argue, in fact, I argue quite the opposite, that credentials are very valuable. If you want to get a job, you need to have a credential. Well, you don't need to have. You don't really need to know anything. You just need to get a credential. Now, to keep the job, you have to know something. to keep a job, you have to do something. But to get a job, when you're working for somebody else in particular, you need a credential. Now, I don't need a credential to work for me because I know I'm a screw-up. I know what I know. And you know what? I know I'm a pretty good writer. So while that may sound immodest, I don't think anybody who's listening would argue. I can get better, and I will. I will write more soon. Maybe today. Well, no, not today, because today I'm going to be tied up in edits. But soon. The idea of, well, it's sort of like a correspondence course, isn't it? And it's like, well, that really depends on the course. And no, it's not really, although it could be. And it goes back to something that I work with my students a lot, which is not to confuse the technology with the application. That cooking is a technology. And if you know what you're doing with it, you can make gourmet meals. And if you don't know what you're doing with it, make slop. And slop is probably not either very appetizing or very healthy. So the idea of an online university that offers liberal arts, and liberal arts makes perfect sense, because very little of liberal arts requires lab presence, requires physical doage other than reading and writing, which can be done quite readily at remote locations without having to attend a university where you might wind up with labs and libraries, etc. The big piece of that, of course, is how connected the students are, what kind of sense of distance can be achieved, or how much distance can be reduced in an online environment. And for the most part, most people don't really understand how little distance there is online, or could be online. I won't say is, because then again, if you're using it to isolate, then it's very easy to isolate. That's one of my big problems with Blackboard and the like, is that they work very hard to isolate the student, and then faculty wonder why online courses make students feel isolated. Well, that's because you're using applications that require them to be isolated. Because, as we know, what's important to education is time on task, and not social interaction among classroom. Now, of course, that's kind of stupid and pointless when you consider that any classroom teacher understands a certain amount of socialization around and in the class is absolutely necessary to keeping a class engaged and involved. That if the only thing that happens in the classroom is that the students sit quietly at their desks taking notes from the pearls that drip unendingly from the instructor's lips, then that's not really class. That's kind of a pain in the butt, and it doesn't really work that well. Although there are many people who think that that's the golden rule. That's the good morning. That's the gold standard of education, which of course is, as in my opinion, and I appreciate that it's just my opinion, largely crap. And the idea that lecture, and this is something that I've had to kind of tone back a little bit, that lecture is the gold standard, that lecture is appropriate. Yeah, you know, I used to say lecture wasn't really appropriate ever, and then I realized that I was falling into the same trap that others did, which was that, you know, lecture is a technology. It's really not about whether or not the technology is valid. It's how you use it. And so an instructor or teacher who uses lecture as a performance, as a way to engage the learner, as a way to tell them a story in a way that pulls them in, engages them in the content, and releases them with a better understanding at the end of the session than they had before. That's pretty valid. That's, in a lot of ways, it's what I do when I read my books out loud. I have to admit that that's pretty valid. Now, for the most part, what lecture comprises is between 35 and 45% of the class period is taken up with logistics. 55 to 65% of it is taken up with the rest of the class, the information dissemination portion. And really, what most people really ignore when they're considering a classroom is that it's a lot of socialization that happens out in the seats while the supposed teaching is going on. If nothing else, seeing that there are other people there with you, seeing that there are other participants, observing how they respond to the lessons at the front of the screen, how many people are sleeping in the back row, how many people are sleeping in the front row, those all go into how a classroom-based class is socialized across all of its members, not just the unilateral relationship between teacher and individual student, but the multifaceted relationship student to students. So how, you know, who's the cute person sitting next to me, and whether or not my boyfriend, girlfriend is in the class with me, and whether or not there's something on my mind about what's going to happen after class, or what happened before class. Those are all important issues most teachers ignore. Well, yes, there was some rain last night. There's a good scour here at the culvert. The riprap kept most of the soil in place, but there's a big pool. Cat sitting in the grass over there, hiding. It's really quite a lovely morning, in spite of the fact that it's rather lowery, quite damp, overcast. It isn't the beautiful sunny spring morning, but there's enough clean, fresh, green air here that the occasional whiff of exhaust doesn't bother me too much. Lovely day. Indeed. A bit of breeze picking up. If the breeze picks up a bit and the sun can get up, burn some of these clouds off, it might dry the lawn enough to be able to mow. If not, I'll have to do it tomorrow before the sprinklers pop on Sunday. So I was supposed to have the house to myself today. Unfortunately, my wife will be staying home. She's not feeling well again, which is unfortunate because she's supposed to be in a staff meeting this morning, 8:30. She's going to have to miss that. She'll be home all day, which means I won't be able to do any recording. It's just as well because I've got all this editing that I've got to get done. I've got to get this book turned around and back out again. None of this stuff can sit on my plate. Now, if I could just get that attitude toward my own work. Actually, I think I can. I think it's coming together. I have this sense of it. Yep. Quite a rain last night, apparently. There's dirt everywhere, so it must have spattered quite a lot. But I'm at the back gate. And it has been 366 episodes worth of talking on my morning walk. A whole leap year's worth of having you along with me while I wander around and ramble from one subject to another. So thank you for being along for the ride. Thank you for being that little extra impetus to get me out and moving, and in some cases to be worried about what the hell am I going to say to him today, which sort of spurs me to make sure that I have something done that I can talk about, which is all for the good. So tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.